Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
We were talking about the Roger Goodell contract extension. He's expected to sign it at the owners' meetings in Phoenix. And when it's all said and done, he's going to have made right around $500 million as NFL commissioner, and probably more because there's going to be a lot of incentives. So by the time he walks away from his position as commissioner, about $500 million at least Roger Goodell will have made. And there is some speculation this will be his last contract extension that he's going to sign. And then after that, somebody else is going to take over. And one of the names that's rumored to be a potential candidate to take over for old Roger Goodell is a good buddy of yours. Do you know who that is?
I'm assuming I know who it is.
TV. Little Troy Vincent possibly taking over for Roger Goodell. So I'm just saying, you know, we started off the show talking about how, you know, sometimes when people realize that you're going to be very successful, much like many of these players being drafted high atop the NFL draft coming up next month, that all of a sudden you start to hear from some other people. I feel like maybe now is the time for you to be proactive and continue to maintain that close relationship with Troy Vincent, because next thing you know, maybe he's kicking back, decides, hey, LeVar, you want to come help me out a little bit here? And you could be on your way to $500 million, just like Roger Goodell, just from association alone.
You know, I'm not already on my way to $500 million.
Well, I want to make sure. Like, you know, I want to make sure that we're getting close there. I mean,
I think working with you is doing me just fine.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
I'll be just fine.
By the way, I don't think I'd want to be an NFL commissioner. I think I'm good. I would not. I would not want to deal with all that.
For all the perks that go into being in the positions that guys like Roger Goodell and Troy Vincent are in, it's got to be painfully stressful.
Yeah,
you know, having to deal with all of the politics, all of the public opinions and different things like that. I mean, maybe it's not that bad, to be honest, because in the end, all you're doing is your job. And as long as you have a good support unit, I mean, it is what it is, right? You're making your money. Maybe it isn't as bad as you think. I know the perks are really good. I'm certain of that.
I'll bet it's probably difficult on the family, though. Because, like, I remember seeing stuff about when Mark Trestman was the head coach of the Bears, he had daughters who were going to
that
junior.
That was bad. That was ugly.
Like, junior high and high school. And it got to the point to where they were getting harassed at school because their dad's football team wasn't performing well. I'm thinking to myself, hey, what? Like, what do they have to do with any of that? But it's just guilt by association. And
it
I can imagine
is.
Roger Goodell on a national scale, like what, you know, members of his family have to hear about, or what they've probably heard about some of the decisions he's made that people haven't liked, or or some of the other stuff that goes along with it. So
yeah, but I don't know. It's just like anybody that would have anything to say about that. Like it's like if you saw Roger Goodell's wife walking outside today, would you know it was his wife?
No, probably not.
I don't even know if he has kids. Like I don't even know his story all like that in terms of privately where, especially where it'd be close of mine where, you know, or even if I'm a kid, other than if I lived in the community, it's like, okay, Roger Goodell lives in this community. Okay. His kids go to this school. Okay. His wife, she works here or whatever it may be. Otherwise, I almost feel like that they would be pretty obscure. Like, I don't even see how that would be, you know, a crazy part of what they got going on. Especially, I mean, I would assume that they're in a very affluent, elite area. Their kids probably went to private school and stuff like that. So there, I'm certain there's other people there where you could get on their parents about what they got going on as well. You know, they're all in it together.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah, I would like, assume.
Yeah.
The like your dad really did mess that one up.
Like, yeah, like really? A yard duty? Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, there's
I'm just saying,
that.
You know, I think the perks of being Roger Goodell or being Troy Vincent at the league definitely outweighs any of the negatives, the cons connected to it for certain.
Yeah.
And I do hope that Troy gets it. I mean, he's been steadfast. He's gone through the entire process since being a player. You know, being like the head player rep, like he was the player rep for all of us. And then he went into the PA, and then he transitioned out of the PA into the league offices. I mean, he, you know, to me, he's a solid stand-up dude. The players relate to him, you know, and they respect him. So there's that idea that, you know, commissioners haven't been some like it's nice to see the hugs when they're getting drafted and stuff like that. But, like, be clear. It's like, I don't know. It's not like you're hugging someone that you relate to. You're hugging someone that is a figure of I made it. You know what I mean?
And there's, so, and also, yeah, and to your point, Troy Vincent's been through every step of the process.
Yeah, so it's like if you're hugging Troy, if I come on stage and I'm hugging Troy, it's going to hit differently than hugging Roger Goodell.
And by the way, isn't James Thrash is still in the works for the NFL? I believe.
Does he?
I think he's with the Lee. Can you double check that? I think James Thrash is with the competition. Is it the competition committee or he like
really
over,
good dude?
He
too,
oversees
man.
Like
one of the dopest dudes you'd ever meet.
Like some of the punishments that are handed out, like James Thrash has some role. Let's go live to our I Know What James Thrash Does for a Living Insider Lead to Laugh for the Latest, Lee.
James Thrash serves as the appeals officer for on-field player discipline.
Yes, that's what it is. James Thrash. Yeah, you played James with James Thrash, name. Right?
Yeah.
By the way, one of the great names of all time, James Thrash.
It's a good name.
Like, football player, heavy metal guitarist. Like, you just think James Thrash, you put that anywhere, and that name adds a little something, a little punch to it. That
yeah, like somebody
Thrash.
Who builds hot rods or something.
Yeah. Yes. You know. That is correct.
Or a skater.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's a skater. He's at the X Games. And now James Thrash is going to do the half
Thrash,
pipe.
The Thrasher.
Yeah.
You know.
So so there's that. All right. So let's get into because we're doing our part to keep the conversation going. Because we were discussing earlier in the show the Carolina Panthers' plan at the top of the draft. They trade with the Bears. They give up DJ Moore, some draft capital. Now they're picking number one overall. There's some speculation about where they're going to go. Is it going to be Bryce Young? Is it going to be C.J. Stroud? The odds would indicate that it's going to be C.J. Stroud. But people have asked, why haven't they knocked on the door of the Baltimore Ravens and seen what it would take to bring in Lamar Jackson,
a proven
commodity? Well, the general manager of the Carolina Panthers, Scott Fitterer, spoke about any discussions they had about Lamar Jackson yesterday and said this.
You guys ever interested in Lamar?
Like anything, like you always have a conversation. But we were looking, he's a great option. There's a really expensive option. but we're focused on more of the draft picks at this point.
Yeah, that's a nice way of saying no shot in hell.
No.
Yeah.
He wanted to say no,
right,
too. But he knows that all this whole cancel culture
right
thing and all that stuff, you say no, like cancel culture is coming for you.
100%. Yeah.
He wanted to say it, though. He was close to saying it. He pulled it back.
Even though the two quarterbacks that are being looked at the top of the draft that they'll be
are
taking,
both black,
right,
black
correct,
men,
yeah, they
know,
they have a lot in common with Lamar Jackson,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So, but it is true that you know, he probably watched his footing there, realizing, well, I don't want anybody to come after me like they've come after some other people. But Carolina, so that's clearly off the board. Well, there is some rumblings out there about some other teams that may be in the market for one Lamar Jackson. And who knows? This could all be a bunch of crap, and this is people just throwing teams out there to try and make it seem like there's a lot more interest than there actually is. But some teams out there that are being rumored as possibly being landing spots for Lamar Jackson. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN says that the Patriots and the Titans are wild cards. That could be somebody that could be looking at Lamar Jackson. Mm. And also, the Minnesota Vikings have been thrown out there as well, too. That the Minnesota Vikings potentially could be in the market for a Lamar Jackson because Kirk Cousins is coming up towards the end of his deal there. So now we've got Minnesota, we've got New England, we've got Tennessee. You've got Ian Rappaport of NFL Network saying that they're kind of at a little bit of a stalemate there, you think, because the Ravens reportedly have done everything they can to get a deal done, yet here we are. Lamar Jackson still doesn't have a deal done with the Baltimore Ravens, and they've got the non-exclusive tag that's been placed on him. So, Patriots, Titans, Vikings, while the Carolina Panthers are out, apparently those teams are still somewhat in the mix and maybe poking around at possibly landing Lamar Jackson.
I would say the Colts, too. I think Tennessee and the Colts would be the two. Like, New England is intriguing, though. That is an intriguing one right there because, you know, we continue to hear about how Bill Belichick wants to have that dual threat option quarterback and really tried it out with Cam. He wanted it to work so badly with Cam. That would be interesting because he would be getting the player that he really was hoping to get when he did bring in Cam. Not to take anything away from, obviously, Cam Newton, but Lamar Jackson is much younger. He's at a much younger space in his career. He hasn't even hit his potential yet. So you're getting a guy that's still young in his career. He's used to cold weather, so you're not going to have to deal with, you know, the idea of him having to adjust to the inclement type of weather conditions. I think that's an intriguing one. I hadn't heard that one, but I think that's an intriguing one, especially if Mac Jones and Belichick aren't on the same page. And it seems like they weren't on the same page leaving the season this past season. But, man, Indy isn't as bad a team as they appear to be this year. And, you know, honestly, I think if they added a guy like Lamar Jackson, I mean, with Jonathan Taylor in the backfield, that could be an interesting move. Tennessee is, I think, that could be the most probable because they've like gone into like straight rebuild mode.
Yeah.
And if they were to add a quarterback like Lamar Jackson and they could add some receivers to that team, man, they'd be, I mean, that would be what, you know, Derrick Henry would, you know, that's what the doctor ordered.
By the way,
if you had those two in the same backfield, yeah, that's pretty nasty.
I mean, they're rushing for 300 yards a game, like every game. Like it's old school.
Try playing that
football.
Read option.
Yeah, that's a nightmare scenario. And look, I would say that the Patriots, to your point, like that was the one thing that people always talked about. Like Belichick always loved Cam Newton because Cam Newton lit up New England whenever he played him, and so to bring him in, and This wasn't about whether or not Cam Newton was giving it his all in New England. Belichick loved his work ethic. Everybody there loved his work ethic. He was the first one there, last one to leave, all of that stuff. He had taken such a pounding throughout the course of his career. He, you know, still hadn't seemingly fully recovered from a lot of those injuries. And it just, the production wasn't there. And also, it was a COVID year, and he got there late. So it wasn't like he had a lot of opportunity to really learn the offense and figure things out and you know, be as successful as possible. And even that being said, there was a couple of plays during that year where, you know, Cam had a late turnover in a game, but still New England was in the conversation and nearly a playoff team that season. So with all that being said, Cam Newton wasn't as bad as many people made it out to be. And then they went in the direction of Mac Jones because it was just his time. The only pushback I would say on New England is they did bring in Bill O'Brien. And if you brought in Bill O'Brien, to me it would feel like the idea there is, well, that's somebody who's familiar with Mac Jones' time at Alabama, and that's somebody who can work with Mac Jones and try and get the most out of his abilities. But I would not surprise me at all if Belichick just kind of, you know, kicking around some ideas, if maybe early on they realize, okay, well, this doesn't appear to be going in the direction that we think it's going to go. There's some skepticism about Mac Jones. Why not think about Lamar Jackson? I just don't know that Baltimore doesn't match whatever offers out there for Lamar Jackson. They hold all the keys in this situation, and it feels like it's just going to either end up with both sides just don't want anything to do with each other, and it feels like that's Lamar's feeling about things. Like, it feels like Baltimore wants him there. They'd like to have him there. They're trying to get a deal done, but Lamar feels like his feelings are hurt. And it seems like there's some potential bad blood there, and maybe he doesn't want any part of that organization
anymore. Let me ask you this. What does Baltimore do if someone comes in and offers Lamar Jackson something doable for him to want to do it? What does Baltimore do if they lose Lamar Jackson?
They get a couple of first-round picks, and I don't believe the first round picks they get would be, I don't believe that one of them would be this year. I would need to double check that. I'm almost positive one of them is not this year. Because if that was the case, if Indianapolis came in and said, Lamar, we'll give you a 4-year deal, you know, $200 million fully guaranteed. If I'm Baltimore and I realize that's going to result in me getting the number 4 overall pick, go ahead. Like if that's where we're at right now and he doesn't want to play for us and we know he hasn't finished the season the last 2 years and I can get a top 4 pick and potentially start over with a new quarterback, then I would really consider that happening.
They would go through this year without a quarterback.
Well, they would draft a guy. I mean, like that's.
So they would go through this year without a quarterback.
But what are you saying? He's saying
what pick do they have in a first round?
Indianapolis has got the 4th pick.
I'm talking about Baltimore.
Baltimore's draft pick. Let me look that up.
Okay.
22nd for Baltimore.
So you're saying if they got Baltimore's or got Indianapolis's pick this year, they get a 4th pick.
I would need to double check that because I don't know that you get this year's pick. You get 2 first round picks if you decide not to match, but I don't know that it's this year's pick. If it was this year's pick, I think it'd be much more appealing because it would be the number 4 overall pick.
It is pretty crazy that you get 2 first round picks if you match it. I don't know that anybody's going to be willing to give up 2 first round picks and pay that coin.
It feels like we're really at a stalemate. Like the Rodgers stuff, we talk about the Rodgers stuff. It's pretty clear where this is headed and what's going on there. With Lamar Jackson, like there are realities to the situation that people defending Lamar Jackson don't want to admit to that are just a fact. A, Baltimore's holding all the cards here. They basically called his bluff. And now he's out there looking at a market that's not as interested in him as they previously thought. And if they are, Baltimore is most likely going to match it. And B, part of the reason why the offers aren't coming flying in for Lamar Jackson is because health has become an issue and a problem, and he hasn't finished the past 2 seasons. So like so much of this is slanted towards the favor of Baltimore when it comes to them holding the power and the leverage in this situation. And I just don't know what the final result is, because it does feel like Lamar's dug in and his feelings are hurt. Like that's
I'll
what I
say,
come away
I'll
with.
Say this. If the situation results in them not being able to do a contract and he plays on the franchise tag this entire year, it definitely is it has to be considered a souring of the relationship. Like, no way around that. There's got to be no way around that, yeah. Right? So then now the question becomes, what happens next? Because you also have to realize that the only way the value really goes up, and what is that value, and on top of that, is if Lamar Jackson plays well and stays healthy. Now his value is up with other franchises because he showed he can still play well, which I don't think that's up for debate at all. It's a matter of, can he stay healthy? If he shows he can stay healthy and he plays at a high level this upcoming season, then the value is there. But then now the question becomes, how much value is it? And what is Baltimore willing to do in order to move on from a scenario that probably, if they don't get a long-term deal done this year, you got to believe that Lamar Jackson wants to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, I agree. And
So why keep him? You know, you're keeping him 1 year too long with him not wanting to be there. He's playing for himself if they don't get a contract done this year. Like, he's not playing for Baltimore. He's playing for Lamar Jackson.
And so just confirmation, I am showing that if Indianapolis were to sign him this year and Baltimore doesn't match it, then they would get the Colts number 4 pick this year and they would get a first rounder next year. So
Yeah.
That would be enticing. But again, I don't know. Now the question
becomes, at the number 4 pick, is there someone there that is worth spending that pick on at quarterback versus getting Lamar Jackson? I would say no. If I'm the Colts, I go ahead and give up that fourth pick. Like, I'm changing my mind. I know I said I wouldn't, but I don't think there's anyone that compares to Lamar Jackson in that manner in the draft this year. Like, I'm not – if I could choose Lamar Jackson right now today versus any of the quarterbacks going in the draft this year, I might lean towards C.J. Stroud and Bryce. I might, but that's not a definitive. I go with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. It's we're just in a little bit of a stalemate here, waiting for somebody to make a move, and that way this thing could get a lot more spicy when it comes to Lamar and the Baltimore Ravens.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox, and you know O'Reilly Auto Parts, you know, O'Reilly, who are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. And by the way, I was just at O'Reilly not that long ago, within the last month, and guess what? Needed some help with the alternator, had some questions with the batteries. They helped me right away and did it right there in the parking lot. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit them at O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low, not sure you can pull out a win. That's when you dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of my friend's money as I possibly can. That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do. Play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. Make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, charge other players rent for your iconic properties. You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Nick Saban decided he was going to go ahead and make an announcement. He's got a freshman defensive back named Tony Mitchell, who was arrested last week, an arrest in Florida that resulted in drug and weapon charges. And so Nick Saban, you know, made the announcement of what the punishment was going to be, and also made sure to point out, you know, that there was no wrong place, wrong time, which is something that the Alabama head basketball coach, Nate Oates, said in regard to freshman Brandon Miller's involvement in a fatal shooting in Tuscaloosa in January. Let's take a listen to Nick Saban.
Tony Mitchell has been suspended from the team on all team activities until we gather more information about the situation and what his legal circumstance is. And, you know, I mean, guys, everybody's got an opportunity to make choices and decisions. There's no such thing in being at the wrong place at the wrong time. You got to be responsible for who you're with, who you're around, and what you do, who you associate yourself with, and the situations that you put yourself in. So it is what it is, but there is, you know, cause and effect when you make, you know, choices and decisions that put you in bad situations.
So was he alluding to maybe what happened with the basketball team and the coach saying wrong place, wrong time, and that's why Saban brought that stuff up? You know, maybe giving a little bit of a bad look to the university that Brandon Miller was still out there playing and is still out there playing while Alabama's making a run towards a national championship. Did you take that from the comments there from Saban?
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. It's
why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you protect what you've built? Like, the worst thing, you know, one of the things that I can honestly say from experience is when somebody helps to build legacy, but they're a part of hurting it, that as hits differently, man. Like, Jerry Sandusky was a major part of helping build the legacy at Penn State. And when all that stuff happened, he was single-handedly a person that tore down the legacy of what Penn State represented. And it was replaced with infamy and amongst other ways of describing, you know, our institution and the people who were associated with it. And so when you hear those type of comments that Coach Saban made, you know, it's the worst thing when you see your reputation destroyed or altered or, you know, just not a favorable look and you had nothing to do with it. You had nothing to do with how this coach handled the situation with these players and their involvement or lack thereof. Like, there's so many people out. It's so interesting. When I did a post on the pat down with Brandon Miller. And everybody's like, oh, they've been doing it all season. Or, oh, it's an MMA thing. Or, oh, they're just kids being kids and this, that, and the other. And da, 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 like so on and so forth. And it's always something else until it's the something that hits hardest. Like something comes out later on or nothing really even needed to come out. If I'm the coach or I'm somebody on that staff, I'm aware of what these dudes are doing in pregame, especially, hey, Jonas, in a time where you're dealing with the investigations that are taking place and someone lost their life, why would you even allow? I'd have been in that locker room like no pat downs.
That would be the time you would think that you'd want to be as buttoned up as possible.
As buttoned up as you can be. And to sit there and your response to be so nonchalant and it's just business as usual. If I'm Nick Saban, I'm somewhere and I'm screaming, you know, into a pillow or I'm looking into my bathroom mirror or something like that. And I'm like, he's going to F it up. This dude's going to F it all up. Because all it takes is somebody, one person to mess it all up. And then all the momentum that this man has built during all these years at Alabama is gone.
Because it also, I think people are, you can't really separate the two because this isn't somebody lost their lives. A mom lost her life. So you can't really separate, well, that was the basketball program or the football program. Bro, it happened in Tuscaloosa. And both are located in Tuscaloosa. And I would venture to guess that with all the Sandusky stuff in Penn State,
they labeled our entire school
100%. I'll bet the wrestling program,
our entire everything. Yes,
and
we were all guilty,
and that's
we were all guilty.
That's
that's the point I'm making, right? Like that's why I drew the comparison of Penn State, literally alumni. Current players, current students, current faculty, current anything Penn State, we're all child abusers. We're all child rapists. We're all child this, that, and the other. All of us. And that's everybody's punchline. When they felt uncomfortable or you wanted to be funny or you wanted to have a good comeback, oh, you went to Penn State. Oh, you was touching them kids too, huh? Like that became a narrative that was connected to all of us.
And then if you defended the program or the school, like I remember,
then you're defending what took place.
Like I remember Franco Harris got buried. Like people were crushing him because he came out and was defending the program. I remember there were other players, Spice Adams spoke out publicly because of it. I think if I'm not mistaken, who was it? But there were several other like former players who came out and was Matt Millen, I think came out as well to it and was speaking on the subject. And if you just spoke about it and said we're not all like that, you immediately got labeled as one of them.
Well,
which is crazy.
I was the most vocal in the media the entire time
and
that
probably
it was happening
and got crushed, right?
I mean it wasn't easy. It wasn't the easiest time. It was a very, very dark, it was a very hard time. And to me, again, when you think about the things that you have to go through and what you experience and how people speak on you and speak about you, it's the wildest thing because, if anything, we're the total antithesis of what we're being accused of. You know, me, myself, personally, all those other guys, all the other people that are associated with our school, it's the total antithesis. My whole life is dedicated to helping kids. I don't do anything crazy, you know, and violate anybody or anything like that. But yet that's what I was made to be. So and bringing the point, tying the point back around to how Nick Saban discussed and how he sounded tone wise and what he's saying, You've got it. The amount of success that school has been able to enjoy has been because of Nick Saban building that football program to what it became and what it is. Now everybody else is able to benefit from it. But if you ruin that reputation, like, think about it, like, there's going to be some kids that wanted to go to Alabama that don't want to go anymore. I'll give you a great example. Here's another personal example. I was going to Miami. I wanted to go to Miami and play for the U. Marlon Barnes gets murdered in his room. I want to say apartment room or whatever it is. He gets murdered in his room. Changed my mind. Like, I'm not going. I'm not going there. Because I don't want – that's an element that I don't – like, I don't want to be in college worrying about if somebody's going to come into my room and beat me to death, literally. So I changed my mind and I started, like, weighing out, like, I had three different options. I had Miami, I had Penn State, I had Florida State. Those were my three schools that I was looking at very heavily. And Miami fell off that list at number one. They fell off the list because of what took place. Now, everybody at Miami and Coral Gables, I've been to Coral Gables a ton of times since college. It's a beautiful place. A lot of old money, a lot of really, really affluent people. I didn't know that. I thought that the University of Miami was like in Liberty City. So I'm thinking I'm going into a war zone if I go to Miami. It's a perception. It was a misperception guided by a narrative that came from what took place with Marlon Barnes. So while it wasn't a player that passed away and lost their life in what took place in Tuscaloosa, nonetheless, an innocent bystander in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, lost their life in a shooting that involved players on the team. You cannot take that lightly. That cannot be taken lightly. That can't be just, you know, you just brush it under the rug or you just breeze over it. You can't do that. And so when you're talking about protecting that reputation, that's something that, you know, I'm sure Nick Saban is going to be very, very committed to and very adamant about doing, because I can guarantee you nobody's looking at that basketball coach like he holds the tradition and the legacy and the value of Alabama like Nick Saban does. So he'll come and go. You know, he'll be here now and gone tomorrow, and he'll be then ruined the reputation of the entire school.
And also, when you think about Saban, last year Saban, you know, kind of put his foot in his mouth a little bit when he called out Jimbo Fisher and all the NIL and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had a lot of people. But, like, Nick Saban said that publicly, and one of the pushbacks was, oh, yeah? Well, like, you haven't done some things? Jimbo Fisher, you know, hinted around. I know a lot of stuff about Nick Saban. So I find it hard to believe that Saban would come out a year later and say this about what's happening with his football program without knowing people hear, people interpret, people. This was clearly him letting everybody know we're different from them. Whatever you think goes on here at Alabama, that let it, you know, we want to be clear that we're not this. He didn't come out specifically and say that, but he wanted to be clear. There's a separation between the two of us and how we do things, even because I think he realizes, to your point, some people, like, there could be a recruit who's thinking about going to Tuscaloosa, and all of a sudden their parent says to him, you're not going there. Like, if that's how this stuff is handled, you're not going there. I mean, like, we want to send our kid to Tuscaloosa to go to college. Yeah, you want to go there and play Division I at a top-notch program. But I wouldn't be surprised if Nick Saban didn't have to have discussions with recruits since January and their families about, hey, what's going on over there? Is that how things are done in Tuscaloosa? I 100% think that's happened over the past couple of months for Saban.
I mean, there's going to be family. My daughter is getting heavily recruited for volleyball. She's going to be a senior next year. I am freaking out, Jonas. Just freaking out. Like, that she was just a baby. I was just holding her as a baby, and now she's going to be a senior next year, and she's going to go off to school somewhere. And I have to trust that the environment that my daughter is going into is not one where I'm going to get a call at some point in time while I'm doing this radio show, while I'm mowing my lawn, while I'm taking a nap, whatever it may be. I don't want to get that call, Jonas. I don't want to receive a call where someone said that, you know, my daughter has been involved with a shooting or something took place. This is the main strip. These are college athletes. Like, what if one of these boys is trying to talk to my daughter? What if one of them is dating my daughter? What if? Like, it's all these what ifs that come about when things like this happen. And if it's not addressed the right way, you're damn for sure right that parents are going to sit there and think twice about if they're going to allow that child that was their baby, that's now at the point of adulthood, just turn them over to being in an environment where something like that could happen. You feel that way in a safe environment. They go to a safe place, you still feel the same exact way, let alone if they go somewhere where you know something has taken place and it's been reported all in the news and it's something that has been kind of like, you know, sensationalized in a way. Like, you don't want to be a part of that. Like, who wants to be a part of that?
Yeah, it's seems pretty obvious what Saban was trying to
accomplish. Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes,
and me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox, and you know O'Reilly Auto Parts, you know, O'Reilly, who are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. And by the way, I was just at O'Reilly not that long ago, within the last month, and guess what? Needed some help with the alternator, had some questions with the batteries, they helped me right away and did it right there in the parking lot. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit them at O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low, not sure you can pull out a win. That's when you dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game, pull off some bank heists, and take as much of my friend's money as I possibly can. That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do. Play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards, make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, charge other players rent for your iconic properties. You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, it is time for the Progressive Play of the Day.
Cracked in the air, deep center field, Thomas on the move, it's off the wall, Ohtani's in to score, here comes the winning run, Japan turns it around on its last breath.
What a gag job by Mexico. The World Baseball Classic. Absolute
golly,
disgrace.
Mexico, what are you doing?
Berto, what the F, man?
It's what Gallegos does. He does that with the Cardinals every year.
He didn't even record now. That was the Progressive Play of the Day. Progressive is making things even easier. They will help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. I will say this. Was it Meneses who got thrown out at home? When he got thrown out at home, I thought to myself, is that going to come back and bite him in the ass? And it did, although I'm not sure that would have mattered the way Japan was mashing the ball late in that game. So, yeah, that was unfortunate. But it does set up the World Baseball Classic final between
good
Japan
one tonight
and the U.S. coming up later on tonight on FS1. So I got to ask you, you heard the call there from Joe Davis on Fox with the final call of Japan beating Mexico. So I want to know, LeVar, we'll hear it one more time. So let's hear the Joe Davis call one more time, because I have a comp, and you're going to decide, LeVar, which one you like better. So this is Joe Davis on Fox.
Cracked in the air, deep center field, Thomas on the move, it's off the wall, Ohtani's in to score, here comes the winning run, Japan turns it around on its last breath.
So do you like that one, or... Okay. Do you like this one, courtesy of Japanese TV?
Murakami!
Sayonara!
So good. Is that what he's saying?
Yes, sayonara!
It's pretty great.
It's a great call.
By the way, he was describing the end of the Japan-Mexico game.
The what?
I was wondering.
What?
Oh, I was going to say the Japanese win over Mexico. Kind of crossed the streams there. But
hey, you don't want to come up short, man. Don't lose your breath on that one. Make sure you take a deep breath so you get all your words and your syllables and all that stuff out.
Yeah, so he was describing the end of the Japan-Mexico game. Want to make sure everybody's clear on that. So so which do you prefer? You prefer Fox, or prefer Japanese TV? Which one are you into?
I'm going to go with Fox.
Really?
Although I thought the second one was very entertaining.
Very energetic.
I'm going to still go with Fox.
Very energetic there.
It was very energetic, but I will say this. I also would, I would like to understand what I'm listening to.
What do you mean? Well, first of all, if you...
Okay. I didn't understand
sayonara.
One word.
Okay, Berto plays
okay,
some...
Okay, that's so disingenuous. Like, I know sayonara means goodbye or whatever.
Okay.
But that's like, come on, that's like literally the only word I would know.
When Berto plays Suavemente on Fridays, we don't know what exactly every word is being said. Now, I do... I mean, because, the in-laws are Mexican, so I know
have
what's being said.
Which is, you are too much.
It's a Spanish-speaking house, so I know what's going on there. Even though I don't believe Elvis Crespo is Mexican. I'm not quite sure that he
is not.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it's a Spanish-speaking house.
I can enjoy, there are aspects of a song like The Beat that I can enjoy and I can relate to that.
That is correct.
That's all I would say to that.
Like Rammstein. Like, you know, you don't speak German to really feel it when Rammstein comes on. You know?
I just like to feel the music. Okay.
You want to hear that Japanese call again?
Come on, let's hear it.
I will say this, the World Baseball Classic, people can criticize it all they want. Wow, we don't like it. Players are getting injured. It's been phenomenal.
It's been great.
It's been really fun to watch. And there, Mexico was heartbroken. Like, those players in the dugout were like, what just happened? Like, they went to the ninth and didn't even record it out. And Japan's on the field celebrating. Yeah, so that's going to be a fun one later on.
Playoff baseball in March. I'll take it.
Yeah, it's fun, man. And plus, for a lot of those guys playing in certain places, it's the only playoffs they're going to see.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, you know, take what you
can get.
By the way, if you listen closely, there's just one guy who turned his mic on just to laugh. He did laugh.
His laugh is funny as hell, too.
He did laughing.
His laugh is fun.
Oh, man.
It's funny as hell.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.